It's good to see your faces here. These are exciting times that we are living in as people. So our Bible college classes are on the ball. We have a breakfast catering service every morning. And people are really enjoying the first class treatment. Awesome. Keep Pastor Shibeli in prayer. He's in Africa right now, but he plans to visit Thailand, Nepal, Bangalore, Mumbai. So just keep his itinerary in prayer. All these teams that will be coming down for the conference. So keep praying now. This is July, August, September, so that there will be a tremendous outpouring. Okay, Father, we thank you for this evening and Wednesday night service for those that have come here. Give us a portion from your word. Lord, we pray. We thank you. For those that have gone before us, those that have surpassed themselves to bring others into a place of a blessing. We thank you, Father. Lord. Pray for our churches, pray for the body of Christ in this nation. We pray for our missionaries. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians 12, we will look at a couple of passages in that chapter. First Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 are three tremendous chapters on spiritual gifts and life in the body and edification. Okay, and Corinth was a place of it was city that was infested with sensuality, and the Apostle Paul made a tremendous impact there as he taught for 18 months, and he is writing to them concerning spirituals. There are many times this word pneumatikos is used, and it means concerning spirituals. They have asked many questions to him. There are many church disorders, but from 1 Corinthians 12 verses 12 to 27 we have a tremendous portion of the body of Christ, which Jesus Christ said in the Gospels in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. He said that in Matthew 16, 16 to 23. He spoke about it, that I will build my church, and that was yet future, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Meaning that this unique entity called the church, which is to the Apostle Paul revealed by the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, is a unique entity that would thwart Satan's purpose in this world. And that the conflict now will be centered around the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God's dear Son. Okay, let me say it again. The conflict now is in the realm of, it is between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God's dear Son. Remember, Israel is temporarily set aside in God's purposes. They are still his nation. but they are temporarily set aside in the purposes of God until something beautiful happens, where God takes out for his son a bride. Now he is forming the body. But I would like us to look at something that is important here, because as we approach, or as the days draw near, many will become familiar with their calling to a local assembly. The decisions that we make as believers will determine what we understand about the things that God has specifically revealed. So the decisions that we will make, some people make decisions logically. It is logical for me to make these decisions. Some people make decisions out of need. Some people make decisions out of preference. And there are those people that make decisions because of pressure. Then there are those people that will make decisions because they understand what God's eternal value system is in relationship to the kingdom in which they have been placed into. Then there are some that are waiting to make a decision about the decision. Okay? Our decisions that we make in time has consequences in relationship to our eternal destiny. But there are some important things that we must understand that will encourage us in our decision making in relationship to the kingdom of God. Now, when we became believers and we believed in Christ and we were born again and we recognized that our sins were paid for and Christ died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried, rose again, and we came by faith into the body, we continue to live our lives the way we live our lives. We still got up in the morning, went to sleep at night. Nothing changed about our outward appearance. But there are some things that God started beginning to do in the heart. As his spirit began to communicate to our spirits, in 1 Corinthians 2:10 to 12, there was a line that was opened up, and there was this communication that is now beginning to take place, where deep impressions begin to be formed inside of us. Deep impressions were made. These deep impressions that were made were very persuasive in nature. Very persuasive in nature, to the point where it brought us into the place where we began to agree with God's word. We began to agree. This is happening in the context of one's personal relationship with God individually, but this also happens in context with one's relationship with each other in the body of Christ. Therefore, the need to seek for fellowship with other believers and the desire to seek the lost so that they can be brought into the fellowship of the body of Christ is one of the impressions that the Holy Spirit did in our hearts. What is it? As a believer, to seek for fellowship with other believers and to seek the lost so that they would be brought into the fellowship of the body of Christ is one of the impressions that the Spirit of God makes in our hearts. Now, God has a plan to bring a person who is lost into not just a place where he can be found, but to bring a person that is lost into a place where he can begin to enjoy the life and the fellowship that he has for them mystically in the body of Christ. So the familiarity that is generated in relationship to church is completely and totally removed once and for all. There are people that go to church, but they never discover the mystery of life in the church. That means they never go from church to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27 is a passage of scripture that talks about when a person believed, whether he liked it or not, God took him and placed him in his son. Placed him in his son. We were placed into union with his son, Romans 6, 3 and 4, Galatians chapter 3, 26. And as we were placed in his son, this is what the Father did, the Spirit placed us in the body. Okay? The Father took us and he placed us in his son. And then the Spirit took us and placed us in his body. This body of Christ, which is a creation, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, is the work of the Holy Spirit when he formed the body of Christ at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 4 onwards. 120 were gathered together in the upper room, and they were, that was the beginning of the church, the body of Christ. Now, if you were to read these passages of scripture, you would recognize the word one appearing many times. The word one, for even if the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but what? Many. Verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one. You understand the word there? One body, many? Huh? Many? You see, everybody today, I mean, when you take pictures and there is a bigger group, it's difficult to get it in the selfie. Correct? So everyone, like, you know, everyone is trying to squeeze there and everyone's trying, you know, did you get everyone? Yeah, everyone's trying to get into it. It's made, the body of Christ is unique in the sense that there is diversity in it, but in one sense, and in the other sense, it is indivisible. What is it? Are you awake? There is diversity of gifts in the body. That's the first few verses and the last part of 1 Corinthians 12. There is diversity. We are different individually, but we are also brought into a corporate unity. And believe it or not, when a person discovers the mystery of the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit, his life will never be the same in terms of his relationship with God. Number two, his relationship with people in the body. Number three, his relationship with the world. And four, his understanding of his purpose in God. I want to look at these things. Because of the carnality that prevailed in the Corinthian church, Paul has to give an analogy of how the body functions. And there are two expressions here which we have taught in the Bible school, and I'd like to look at. Number one, with the many parts of the body, we have here the foot, the hand, the ear, the eye, the head, the feet mentioned. In one expression, in verse 15, if the foot says, because I am not the hand, I am not a part of the body. Remember this, number one, verse 15. Because I am not. Because I am not. The second expression is, Remember, in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but the body is not one member, but many. Verse 20, but now there are many members, but one. So you keep on hearing this. The body is not one member, but the many members, one. So in this analogy of the body, there is a problem between one part of the body and the other, and the person is saying, because I am not the hand, a part is not there in the original. It says, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. You say that, I am not of the body. Say. Now repent for saying it. Because I'm not the pastor, I don't have to preach, so I will decide when I'll come to church. Second one, verse 20, now there are many members, but one body. Yeah. The eye cannot say to the hand, remember this. In verse 15, if the foot says, because I am not the hand, if the foot says, because I am not a part of the body. Okay, so the word if is probability. What is it? Are you awake? Because I am not the hand, here it says, I cannot say to the hand, cannot say, not probability, I have no need of you. Because of, I am not like the other part of the body, I am not a part. Number one. Second is, I am not of the body, verse 15 and verse 21. I have no need are two statements that can cause me tremendous harm in my growth as an individual believer. If there's one thing that Satan can attack, he can attack these two erroneous mindsets. What is it? He can, because you and I were never designed to live independently of the body of Christ, even though you and I are still believer priests before God. That is why I said in the beginning, a believer will always seek for fellowship with other believers. He will seek for the lost in such a way so as to bring them into the fellowship of the body of Christ. It is not possible for a believer who's born again to just sit down there in whatever place God takes him and not to proclaim his faith and communicate it and to live in isolation. That person, after some time, will start becoming so subjective in their hearts that they will question whether they are saved in the first place. That's why I tell people when they disappear and they go here and they go there and they say, God told me this and that, I don't say anything anymore. I say, well, one thing, when you go to those places, find a local assembly and be a part of that local assembly, because it is dangerous to be a believer and not to be a part of a local assembly. Because the fullness of God operates in that place. Just as the fullness of Christ was in the body in Colossians 1:19 and 2:9, the fullness of Christ is in the church, in the body. Fullness, pleroma, of his fullness have we received. 1:16, grace for grace. So the body of Christ, so I can be in a place where I could have tremendous shortcomings, failures, problems, habits, whatever it may be, when I am taken and by the Holy Spirit and I'm born again in the body of Christ. This is the beginning of something unique happening as the Spirit of God starts communing with the spirit of man. You may not know it, and you may think, no, I'm coming to the church, you know, I don't really know what's happening, but this is what's happening. Now, we are talking to people that are coming on a Wednesday night. You come here, you're disciples. I want to say, something that is more important to us here that come more than once a week. It is our prerogative to look at people in the body of Christ that are seemingly not mature, to bring them into the place of maturity. So let me say that again. This expression in verse 15 and this expression in verse 29 is not the manner of conversation that we have in our attitude. Correct? Because I'm not. Because I'm not. So imagine if the eye shuts down shop for a day. What would happen? Or the bowels decided that they won't operate. Because I'm not. Verse 15. Second. When a spirit of independence comes in. Number one, there is a measure of ignorance. Verse 15. Number two, verse 21, there is a measure of independence. Ignorance, we can be taken advantage of. 2 Corinthians 2:11 in application. Independence, I could get into trouble as a person because of living this life in isolation. Because pride is always dealt with by God. But let's look at this, okay? I'll close. Verse 22, there are people in the body of Christ that are what? Weak. They are? What are they? Weak. They are weak. 23. They are less honorable. Next, they are less presentable. Next, they are lacking. Verse 24. We have weak people, we have less honorable people, less presentable people, and then there are people that are lacking. Now, this is the key. God has so, what? Huh? Say the word, what is it? Now, today when Pastor Anil played the guitar and Raj played the keyboards and Manoj played the drums on the thing. Imagine if they decided, they all had a rehearsal, practiced it, but when the worship started, each one played their own song. Would we in the audience know how to participate in the worship? Then Pastor Anil will turn around and he'll ask Raj, what in the world are you doing? He's with the guitar. Raj turns around to Manoj and tells him, why don't you tell him what we are doing? And what happens? And then the two girls who are there looking at each other, they start crying, they take out their handkerchiefs. But that's what happens in panic situations sometimes. The lady says, God has so... That word is an interesting word. It is the same word that is used in Hebrews 4:2 for mixing faith. In Hebrews 4:2, they did not mix faith with what they heard, so it did not profit them. What did they do? They did not. The word came, they did not unite it with faith. What has God done in the local assembly? God has so composed, mixed. He knows exactly what the needs are in the body of Christ in terms of spiritual gifts. And he has chosen to place everybody in his own unique place. 1 Corinthians 12:7, 1 Corinthians 12:11, and 1 Corinthians 12:18. He has chosen to put people exactly where he has willed. You understand? He has placed it. 1 Corinthians 12:7, 1 Corinthians 12:11, 1 Corinthians 12:18. I don't need to find another place in the body. I need to just take the place that God has for me in the body. Remember this. We don't tell people where their place is. We lead people to who places them. Let me say it again. We don't tell people where their place is. Are you new, first time? Okay, 10th row. We need to be available to them so that they would know the one that has placed them. So when there are conversations and a person comes and he's weak, he's less honorable, he's less presentable, and he is in this place where he lacks, it is at those times that they have an opportunity to find out where they are, where they actually fit. In fact, in the world system, when they become conscious of these things, they begin to find out where they don't fit. You with me? We have these kids now, they are in our church, they are growing, they are into their teenage years, they are going to college. Now when they go to college for the first time, they will have to be in a place where their self-image will be revealed. So there is the herd mentality. This is the cigarette group. And they light it the other way around, you know. To have identity, then this is one group. And they look for identification in these things. It's called the herd mentality. Oh, there's one group it's called the cow group. And they all look for identity. But they don't have this problem in the world if they have found their place in the body. When I have understood my calling in God, and that it is a call to himself, and I have understood my calling in the body of Christ, I don't really have to worry too much about my identity in the world, because I have found that in my relationship with him and my membership in the body. Not membership in terms of signing document, but my membership in particular. Let me say it again. I do not have a problem in the world if I have found my relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and my what? Membership in the body of Christ, my place in the world is not an issue anymore like it is to so many people. My relationship with God individually and my participation as a member in the body of Christ would mobilize me in terms of my calling into the world. You know, it's funny. In average ministries, people derive their identity in the church from what they are in the world. So if they have some status symbols and, you know, they have achieved much, you know, and thank God for achievers and all these things, they come into the body and they expect to be treated in the body based upon their status symbols in the world. Which is not, I don't have a problem with, but you know what? God doesn't discriminate in the body. How do we know that? In Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are on an even, now this is the thing. God is interested in bringing the believer into a large place. He is interested in bringing the believer in. He does not want the believer in the ministry to be in a place where he is going to stagnate. He wants the believer to be brought into a large place. That is Psalm chapter 18. He not only wants to bring the believer into a large place, in Psalm 18 verse 19, he also wants the believer's footsteps under him to be enlarged in verse 36. I come into the ministry, I'm a believer, I'm told by other believers, be careful in this church. Okay, it's all love in the beginning, but you don't know after that what will happen. You come here, you begin to, you know, get to know the word of God. Suddenly you'll go to Bible school, you'll have to give up your job, you'll work part-time, your wallet will be lighter and lighter, and ultimately in the end you won't really have anything. I'm telling you, I went to the ministry, I used to do it now, you know, and I was going that way, but thank God, the God of this world opened my eyes. So the person that hears it, is brought into a large place, but in the large place, he starts taking small steps. And you think that he's walking on a cliff. He's not walking on a cliff. He's walking like this on a... Then you ask, what happened? I heard these things. What did he hear? He heard these things. The devil robs a person in time of what God has prepared for them in eternity. Not future, past. Say it again. They rob God of the things that God has prepared for them in eternity past, so that they would learn how to enjoy the benefits of it in time. They are robbed of it. They do not come to the local church anymore like they used to come. Priorities have changed. Priorities have changed. Decision making is no longer based on the eternal value system. This is not something that happens overnight. This is something that happens progressively for two reasons. Because I am not. And number two, I have no need. Because I am. So you call up the person and the person is shocked that you even call them up, because after being in the ministry for years, they are quite surprised that you will still make the call after all these years. Why are we making the call after all these years? Because we love, because we care, but also because these two principles can come into our lives and they can rob us of what it means to be brought into a large place and have our steps enlarged under us. You know, if in the ministry married couples in their families talk negatively, the kids don't have the capacity to want, they will lack the capacity to want God. So if I'm home and I'm with my family and I'm fighting with my wife and I'm saying negative things about the ministry, forget about the ministry. I am actually destroying that person's capacity to want God. And this was happening in Corinth. And all of a sudden, that unique, mystical, organic unity into which they were called began to be shaken by the cosmicness of the world on the outside. Instead of the body making an impact in the world started having its entrance in the church. Correct? Instead of the person understanding who he is in Christ in relationship to what Christ has done for him and his membership in the body of Christ, he is now wanting to have his identity in the church based upon what he is on the outside. And all these kinds of things came in. And you know what? It takes away from the purpose of the church. We must discern when this progression is happening. Irrespective of whether I am in a position of leadership or not, it is a progression that we discern because we are members in particular. You understand that? Dr. Stevens said in the class, he called up a woman and he said to her, I missed you on the Sunday morning service. And the woman was horrified by the fact that Dr. Stevens was able to notice that she was not there in a congregation of 1,500 people. She said, how did you know it in a con? I said, I know the people that are missing on a Sunday morning service by just taking one look at the congregation. I just thought this was unique. So what God has so? What? Composed. United. Who did that? The elders, the deacons of the church, who did that? 24. It is God's doing. And so when each one finds their place in the body of Christ and operates in that place because God gave it to them, then that church becomes very dynamic in the manner in which it operates, because people have taken their place in the body of Christ. And you know what? When people take their place in the body of Christ, Satan does not have that much of an opportunity to play his games. So the Apostle Paul writes, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith. Ephesians chapter 4, 4 to 6. Put on love, which is the bond of unity. He is writing these things because it is absolutely vital for a local assembly to recognize the high calling that they have in Christ, the uniqueness of their portion, everyone's portion in the body of Christ, the uniqueness of the gifts that they have, that it is God who is the one that gives the gifts. It is God who is the one that places people in the body of Christ. We just discern the things that God does. We don't give the gifts to people. We merely recognize the gifts that are given, because when the gifts are given and the Holy Spirit empowers the person, then the person functions in accordance with the gift that is given, and it becomes evident in the body of Christ. When I am not there to experience the mystery of this operation, then I'm looking for positions in the church. Positions are east, west, north, and south. There's no positions. God doesn't give positions in the ministry. There's no positions in the ministry. We are looking for, no. Not positions. Placed. There are no positions in the church. There are placements in the church. So we have placement officers. Pastor Anil, Pastor Benny. So think about this today. People will walk through our doors. They'll be weak. They'll be less honorable. They'll be less presentable. They will lack. And the Bible says that God has so composed the body of Christ, wherein which he has placed people just as wish. And finally, in closing, Isaiah 54 in the second chapter, it's a beautiful verse. It speaks of a promise to Israel, but it is an application. But I would like to give you an application. And in that passage of scripture, God is asking Israel, I want you to enlarge your tents. What is it? I want you to enlarge your tents. I want you to broaden your coats. I want you to what? Isaiah 54 verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your. For you will spread abroad to the right and the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. What is he saying to them? You know, if you use cement, then there is a limitation to moving your tent. Concrete, no? But in those days, when they built their tents, they did it with skins. The Arabs, the Bedouins, they would carry it, they would put their pegs in. He's saying, enlarge the coast of your tents. The church is not a cemented entity. It is an entity that is movable. There is mobility in our lives as people. We are not constrained or restricted. No, there's no rigidity in our life. It's not like we can't do things. And it's saying, enlarge the coast of your tents. When we understand this life in the body in 1 Corinthians 12 to 27, the church becomes mobilized. The things of God, life in the body, love, forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration, edification, evangelism, prayer, missions, giving, when they start coming into the ministry and people start beginning to get a glimpse of its reality, the courts begin to be enlarged. They just come in. And you don't know from where these things are happening to it. The courts begin. So the church is not in a place where it's restricted anymore. We're not preoccupied with how the needs are going to be met, because it is God that is giving the increase. Why is God giving the increase? Because the fullness is beginning to be made, is received and beginning to be made manifest. And Jesus Christ constantly encouraged his disciples to go beyond the norms of the natural and enter into the realm of the supernatural. They were restricted people, they were constrained, they were fishermen, they were not highly educated, etc. So they basically, you know, Jesus was stretching them, and sometimes they would like say, "Jesus, you can't stretch us so much because, you know, we are not used to this kind of life. You're asking us to feed the multitudes. We are looking at 300 denarii. Can we just basically send everyone away and just get those people that house us when we go in the five districts of Israel so that we can just spend our three?" And Jesus said, "No, you just basically, let's feed them." He is extending. He's saying, there will come a time where you yourself would not be limited by the geographical boundaries of Israel, where you will go into all the world making disciples of all? You can't have that if a Jewish man is prejudiced only to the Jewish person. It cannot happen to him. He cannot go into all the world. And that is the problem that happened between the Jerusalem church and Saul, who became Paul, got a revelation of the body of Christ. He comes out, he's getting a revelation of the body, the Gentiles, etc. Peter goes to Cornelius' house, he is excited, he comes back, they put a case on him, and what happens? You can see the struggle that took place. And Acts 15, the Jerusalem council was, "Why do you put a yoke on these people that our fathers were not able to bear? The gospel has also come," and the coast was expanded. You know, Satan investigates, man calculates. Satan investigates, man calculates, God disseminates. Don't limit yourself tonight in what God can do with your life. Don't look to the world to give you an identity in the church. God will give you. You have your identity in Christ in the church, so you don't have to really struggle for acceptance in the world, because you have found your relationship with God and you have found your membership and your place in the body of Christ. And the world should not determine who you are in the church. Being in the church should determine what is your calling out there in the world. And look to people as they come through our doors on a Sunday morning and on a Wednesday night. Look to them not with the mindset of, because I am not. I have never shaken the hand of a new person here. That's the usher's job. Because I am not the usher. And second one is what? Hey, I can live without you, man. Take a walk. Yeah. These attitudes, they defeat the purpose of the church on earth that Christ said will defeat, that the gates of hell will not prevail. And so let's make some decisions to guard the things that are sacred in terms of our calling into the body of Christ today, so that people, when they come, they find themselves in a large what? Place. Even if you have money for one chaika glass, you will share that with three people. Because you not only are a large, God brought you to a large place, you also have extended your courts on the inside. You are not just a King James Bible, you are an amplified Bible. There's an amplification of your life. And the body of Christ becomes a tremendous witness out there in the world. And you know what happens? People start beginning to covet the life that you have in the body of Christ. Amen? So Father, we thank you for these points today. Just an understanding of our relationship with you in the body. We take the offering. We will just pass it around because Pastor Anil has a throat thing. So we'll just pray by faith. Just bless the offerings, Father, during these coming months so that we also will want to host the conference when Pastor Shibeli comes. We thank you for placing us in the body of Christ. There are people, that many of us have our own insecurities, our phobias, our anxieties, our fears, a poor self-image. We go through identity crisis in our lives. We face rejection. Lord, we are lonely. At times we fear the future. We are preoccupied. But when we come into the body of Christ and you speak to us through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we are quickened into a life that is more abundant. And we thank you that we have found our place. And you have hid us in the cleft of the rock. You have hid us in Christ. Colossians 3 says that we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. And we begin to experience this enlarging of our tents in this life. And we look at ourselves in faith and we realize that you are calling us to do things that we could have otherwise never imagined. You're calling us to exercise steps of faith in places we could not have gone in the natural. You draw us into a place where we might not even venture by faith. We begin to look at things from a different perspective. You open our eyes, you open our ears, you open our hearts, and we just thank you for that today. And thank you for drawing us out with cords of love, with cords of a man, with bands of love. And thank you for bringing us all into a large place where we are not too cautious in our walk with you. We are careful, but not too cautious in our walk with you, because the feet, they don't slip anymore in that sense. So we just pray that we would make decisions in faith, that if there are thought patterns that are forming in our hearts and minds about wanting to withdraw, or if there is some measure of negativity in our hearts or resentment in relationship to people in the body of Christ and even ourselves, that we would come to the cross and we would deal with it in such a way so as to not be robbed of another person's portion in our lives or the portion that we have to offer. Father, we pray. Give us a mindset of repentance when we are not aligned to your will. Help us to make a decision in that respect without wasting much time so that we can be properly aligned back in the body of Christ. We pray for those that are struggling in their decision making in the ministry. We pray for those that have received a lie from the devil, those that maybe feel a sense of not belonging, and we just pray that we will counsel them, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, and comfort them as the great comforter, and you would teach them the reality of what a fortified place the body of Christ is on the earth, and how together as one body we could fight again, we could put up a warfare, we could war against in 6:10-18 of the book of Ephesians, where we wrestle not with flesh and blood but against principalities and powers, that we can understand the conflict in from a corporate sense, and because we are there and we are covered by one another in the body of Christ. So we pray you will give us a revelation of these things in our personal lives on a day-to-day basis, and to help us intercede for those that are seemingly fallen away, struggling either in personal sin or they are somehow withdrawn or detached, Father, or become familiar. We just pray for them today. Our churches would understand this mystery and they would thrive with fellowship in the body of Christ as each one starts beginning to be concerned about each other. It says there that each one would exercise the same care one for another. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.